time for your SportsEdge.com sideline report with Todd Griffin. Talking sports and more here on 1580 103.3 WPKY and worldwide at WPKYonline.com. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
Good morning, everyone. The sideline report is on the air from 1035 West Main Street in Princeton. This is Todd Griffin in the WPKY studios. Thanks a lot for joining us this morning. On the show today, friends of the show, Gary Goodacre and Chris George in the studio with us. Gary, good morning. Thanks for coming in.
So does that mean we are three amigos?
Yes.
Okay. I'm not putting the hat on.
But I think, isn't that copyrighted?
I don't know.
Probably.
I'm not sure.
Chris, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, good to be in the studio.
I was going to say it's becoming rarer that we're ever in the same place together anymore. So glad everybody could come in for this post-Christmas edition of the Sideline Report.
Well, we're glad to be here. It's been a nice weather week, definitely for your Hoops Classic. We're much happier for this weather than a couple of years back. So it's nice. I know a lot of people want white Christmases, but I like to be able to go where I want to go. So this suits me much better.
I wanted a white Christmas.
I'm so sorry.
I don't mind a little snow for Christmas, but that's all I want. After we get that, I'm looking forward to spring.
Basically, I think you're on the right track there.
One good snow.
Yeah.
And hopefully I can stay in the house, and then it's time for, I don't want spring, I want summer.
Oh, wow. Well, did you guys have a Merry Christmas?
It was fine. I had a headache for most of it, unfortunately, but I got through it well. I'm now post-Christmas. Once Christmas happens, the Christmas season to me stops at 11:59 on December 25th. It's post-Christmas. I'm ready for new things.
Chris?
Good Christmas, can't complain, but like Gary, it's time to move on to, it's almost spring training time, so.
You guys have your training. You guys have your top fives ready for today?
You will be surprised, but yes.
I do. It took some research and a little bit of homework, but I'm ready.
It's our top five favorite sports plays that we'll be going over a little bit later on, and you know, that category, Gary, kind of leaves a whole lot open for inclusion.
Well, the key I had to think about was you give it very open. You did not give us any specificity, so I had to put on my own parameters. For example, no sports play that hurt my team counts.
Right.
So the Christian Laettner shot is amazing, but it hurt UK, so it's off my, not even consideration.
I don't think anybody will have that.
No.
I disqualified it because it hurt my team.
I like Gary, I had to kind of narrow it a little bit for myself, and I think you'll be interested in some that I have on there because some of them aren't like epic moments that were seen on television. They were things I saw that I remember I thought were fantastic.
I bet Gary could probably tell everybody my number one already.
I'm not going to let that out yet.
All right.
We'll see.
We need to get to a break. Chris George and Gary Goodacre with us on the Sideline Report this morning here on WPKY. We'll come back and talk a little sports. We'll have our top five a little bit later on, so stay with us as we continue here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Here at H. Ryer Power, we know you expect premium performance and dependable durability from your Case IH equipment, and you should demand the same from parts you put inside it. Only Case IH genuine parts are guaranteed to perform at rigorous standards of your Case IH equipment. They're engineered to work harder and last longer, so you can maximize your uptime and minimize your maintenance intervals. Others can imitate, but no one can replicate. Nothing beats the original Case IH parts. For Case IH genuine parts, visit H. Ryer AgriPower at Hopkinsville, Kentucky.
Happy holidays from Purcell Tire in Princeton. We offer a wide variety of options to keep your vehicle running smooth for all your holiday events. We are now offering our car care package that includes oil and filter change, tire rotation and tread depth check, brakes, battery, belts, and hoses check. Call us today at 270-365-7291. Come see us at 309 U.S. Highway 62 West in Princeton or visit us online at purcelltire.com.
You only turn 130 once, and Fredonia Valley Bank is pulling out all the stops. This remarkable journey is a testament to the community and the cherished customers, so they are shouting out a huge thank you. And what better way to show gratitude than with monthly giveaways? Stay in the loop for your chance to grab some amazing prizes. Stay tuned with us. Follow Fredonia Valley Bank on Facebook and Instagram, or pop into either location for a visit. Here's to winning and celebrating together.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. powering your lives and lighting up your nights. Princeton Electric Plant Board's community spirit shines bright. Entrusted with the glow of our fields, they keep our Tigers' pathways illuminated to victory. A shout out goes to our Tigers as they roar into a new season. Good luck, Tigers. Here's to a safe and victorious year from your one and only Princeton Electric Plant Board. They're not just a service, they're community.
Why support local?
More of your money stays home. Keep money local. Sales taxes fund our communities and provide vital services such as police and fire protection, street repairs, and trash collection.
The Edge Media Group urges you to support local every chance you get.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580, 103.3 WPKY. Thanks for joining us this morning. Gary Goodacre and Chris George in the studio today as we have the final Sideline Report of 2024. Guys, Gary, what are you looking for 2025?
Well, I'm interested in this Kentucky team. I'm really interested to see what happens now that there's film on this group of players together. I think that the record is about what I thought it would be, but not the teams necessarily. But now they've been seen, and I think the SEC teams have the athletes to attack it. And I'm kind of thinking there's going to have to be some shortening of the rotation, which I've already seen, and there's also going to have to be some toughness built up to what teams are going to do to them. I mean, hopefully the Mark Foxes and the people on the bench are going to be against them going, if I had the personnel of my next opponent, how would I attack you? How would I come at you? And they develop another gear, because if they don't, I think what got them the record they have now will get them about 10-8 in the SEC. That's just my fear. So I want to see if the improvement comes.
Chris?
Well, I feel like I've been saying for a couple of weeks now, you got a bunch of mid-major transfer guys that came in with a chip on their shoulder to prove something on the biggest stage in the brightest lights. With those type of guys, they're used to being the hunter. How are they going to adjust now when Ohio State and Clemson came out and hunted them? They didn't adjust to that. I agree with Gary on the toughness piece. And all the Kentucky fans and basketball fans in general, SEC is going to be a beast. They're projecting somewhere between 10 to 12 teams of the tournament. I mean, you're looking, the 16th team in the SEC right now has three losses. It's just going to be a beast every night.
Yeah, the SEC, especially on the road, that's going to be tough. I know a lot of people are making a lot to do about the margin of the Ohio State loss, but I think there's going to be a couple of nights on the road in the SEC where we see something similar.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what are you going to do on that night when you got to go to South Carolina and you're not playing Auburn, you're not playing Tennessee, you're not playing Bama, who you think are the marquee teams, and are you just going to call it in on that road that night in South Carolina and get beat by 15 or 20?
It's going to be a matter of what they can see with the matchup against the other team. There's going to be a night, like you said, one of those Auburn, Alabama, Florida teams. We're going to beat them because we're going to hit 45% from three, and we can beat anybody in the nation. And it's going to be our night, and that's where it's going to be. And there's going to be another night where we put up a clunker. We're about 20% from three and can't get to the rim, and they've got a rim protector, and we have no real way to score. So I just think it's going to be a tough coaching job. As a coach, forget it's a new coach, Mark Pope. The navigation you're going to have to do every 3 days playing somebody this good, how do you have time to really prepare? It's going to be just a gauntlet.
Well, some big wins early in the season for Kentucky. You know, you look at the Duke game, the Gonzaga game, but I think we can all agree Kentucky was never the number four team in the country.
No.
I think Kentucky is a solid top 15 kind of team. Maybe top 10 at the end of the year if everything falls just right, but they'd have to have a really good year. But, you know, if you can stay around 15 or 16, that probably gets you a number four seed maybe for the NCAA tournament. I think that would be a good showing for this year's Cats.
Considering every night in the SEC, the next 18 games are all going to be quad one games.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody in the SEC is going to have 18 quad one games. Kentucky's going to have 2022 quad one games. You're probably, if you can figure out how to be 10-8, 12-6, you're probably going to get a nice solid three seed in the tournament.
So he's going to be 10 loss Pope then.
He may be. And that's very likely, because that would mean 7 in the season and you don't win the SEC tournament. There's 10.
Yeah.
So if you told me now that we'd go 11-7 in the SEC and win a couple of games in the tournament but lose, I would take it. Because knowing the fact that you won 11 somehow, you're bound to hit some winners. If you know, good wins. You're not going to win all the bad games. A team that goes 11-7 in the SEC and gets somewhere in the tournament, that's a 3 seed.
Yeah.
And I'll take that. I would take it today.
Well, I'm going to stick with my original thought that Kentucky wins a game in the SEC tournament this year. They win a game in the NCAA tournament. How much farther they go after that, I don't know. At this point, with a new coach and a completely new roster and, you know, as tough as the SEC is, Chris, I think anything after that's gravy this year.
I agree. We've got to temper expectations for playing essentially an entirely new roster. But I'm going to be disappointed if they don't win 10 games in the SEC. They should win 10 games in the SEC. I would like to see them get to Saturday, but then when you get to Saturday, you're talking Auburn, who I think is the best team in the country, Tennessee, that's a beast, and Alabama. So you're playing one of those four, and those are Final Four quality games you're playing in this SEC tournament. And then actually just go out and take care of business. And I think Pope's teams will take care of business in the NCAA tournament, come with a business-like attitude, and hopefully get at least to the second round and maybe into the Sweet 16. And I could be happy with that.
I'm happy with it, because the better Kentucky does, it's going to help the recruiting.
Yes.
That's the key. You can't be laying eggs. The brand is still good right now. And Mark Pope seems to me like somebody who I believe could get in a guy's living room and make a case. He's getting good recruits now. Owe and Garrison, I'm very happy with coming back. The three freshmen are going to have to find their roles. But, of course, you get a lot better as a freshman to a sophomore. So that is something that I'm sure Mark Pope is hoping for. So if he gets the kind of team he really wants going forward, maybe he'll get the alpha he needs. I've been telling people that I just don't know if we've got an alpha yet that can take over a game. If he can get one of those next year and subsequent years, then I think that he's going to have a good run at UK.
The closest he's got to an alpha right now is Butler, but Butler is Jekyll and Hyde. And nights where he has that Louisville night and the officials let him play physical, he's going to have a big night. And then you get a night where they're calling it inconsistent at best, like Ohio State, he's going to foul out. And that, to me, this team goes as far as Lamont Butler can take them.
When you look at the record, though, I don't think the average Kentucky fan could expect much more out of Mark Pope than where they're at right now. And you start looking ahead, because that's what we do. We like looking ahead to the SEC tournament and the NCAA tournament. I don't think Mark Pope has to lead this team to the Final Four to have a great season, but he can't lose to a 12 or a 13 seed in the first round.
No, but I don't think that anything I've seen makes me think that will happen. Yes, I know he got behind to some of the weaker teams in the second half, but I think that was during the pre-SEC. So I'm okay with that. I allow for a little experimentation. You're seeing people in places you may not expect them. That's fine. But I think that they will become the kind of team that can figure out how to beat a 12-13 type seed in the first round and not get overwhelmed. And remember, who on that team experienced the Oakland loss? A walk-on that sat and watched it? Nobody on the floor did. So I think all that's washed away. Any residue of that is gone. Yeah, the media will bring it up, but I think that the players will not have any effect by that.
Now, we would all love a Final Four run, and who's to say if you get in the right bracket and that thing opens up? Sometimes you don't have to go through the meat of a bracket. Somebody knocks somebody out for you. We saw that a few years ago. Kentucky made that run and then lost to a Kansas State team that they should have just run off the floor.
Well, and you look at the last two seasons of Calipari. The bracket opened up for them. They just they were part of the reason the bracket opened up. And you see other teams make that run. My biggest concern right now with this team is I believe if you go back and look at the season to this point, WKU exposed them. And everybody's used that WKU physical, get them across, get them, push them out beyond the three-point line and be physical with them. And they've not adjusted yet to teams being physical with their guards and bumping them on the cuts. They've got to address that.
Yeah, the biggest thing, though, with UK basketball this year, at least from my standpoint, people are asking me about the Cats again. That's kind of fun. You know, people had gotten to where they were just kind of disinterested.
Well, go watch Arkansas, and you'll see basically what you would have had. So if you miss it, go watch that. Just figure out how to fix your color on your screen where red turns into blue. You'll be fine. I don't miss it.
I think I'm going to pass on the Arkansas stuff.
I check in on Arkansas if they're playing, and then I remember, I don't miss this. Yeah. I was kind of upset with Cal leaving for Arkansas. I was, but then I look and I'm like, oh, it's so much better now.
Well, I don't want to be a revisionist historian here, but you know, when Cal was first hired, I was all for it too. And I think a lot of people were, and in the beginning he was getting enough talent and he had people on his coaching staff that it made a difference. And of course, you know, when Anthony Davis showed up, a championship followed, but then you start just looking, and there were other teams that should have gone deeper. How did the Carl Anthony Towns team ever lose to anybody? And then those two first-round losses, and there was just a disconnect between Calipari and everybody else in Big Blue Nation.
My favorite question was, how much talent does Calipari need to win? And the answer is all of it.
Yeah. All of it.
He has to have it all. And he did 1 year.
He did. Well, and you talk about the
he did twice, actually.
Game. You know, that team was destined to lose a game, and they ran into the right team that – or the wrong team that was a matchup nightmare. I had that conversation with somebody last week and said the difference in them going undefeated and – or losing that game – they actually should have lost to Notre Dame, quite honestly, the game before. But Alex Poitras was the difference. They were short one man. Willie Cauley-Stein and Karl-Anthony Towns can't guard the entire front court.
Yeah. But don't you think about 10 years at one school is enough for any coach anymore in just about any sport? I mean, after you get about 10 years in, there's so much pressure and there's such a spotlight on you that I think it's tough to go beyond that and have any real success.
Are you trying to segue to Mark Stoops?
Well, no, I wasn't going to, but...
No, let's not do that.
We're not going to.
Let's not do that.
That's fair.
We will disagree on all points on that, I promise.
I was just curious. Okay.
Kentucky football fans, get over it. Mark Stoops has taken us places we've not been.
Well, we just can't get over that final hump. That's just it. And maybe it's a UK football thing. And we need to get to a break, but I've said this for a long time. When you look at football in the SEC, big-time football, it's about how much money you pump into it. Alabama and Tennessee and LSU and Georgia and now Texas, those programs have always been historically good because they pump millions and millions of dollars into their football team, their football program, that Kentucky is never going to pump into it. Now, Kentucky pumps a lot. You know, there's a lot of money, but it's not on the same level as those guys.
But the game is totally different. Just this playoff has changed everything.
Yeah. Everything's different in football, but what Kentucky fans need to get over is, I know you want to be entertained. I know you want to score a lot of points. That is not who Mark Stoops is. Yeah. Let him get back to playing Stoops football and winning ugly football games. I don't care how we win. I just want to win.
I want my football teams to score 50 points and keep the other team from scoring. After that, we're good. You'll have a lot of success that way. Chris George and Gary Goodacre in the studio with us this morning. We do need to get to a timeout here on the Sideline Report, but we'll come back and have more right after this on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Cadiz Trigg County Tourism invites you to visit Cadiz soon and often. We have great places to shop, eat, and enjoy. Find out more at gocadiz.com or on Facebook.
Your Weather Edge Weather Center forecast, a 20% chance of showers today, partly sunny with a high of 57. Then tonight, an 80% chance of showers after midnight, low around 47. Southeast winds 15 to 20 miles an hour. And then Friday, a 90% chance of showers before lunchtime, high of 59. South winds 15 to 25 miles an hour. But back to this afternoon, slight chance for rain, partly sunny, 57 in southwestern Kentucky.
Stay safe on the road while keeping your vehicle in top shape while enjoying a smoother, quieter ride. Ensure fuel efficiency by trusting the tire experts at Trice Hughes. Stocking leading brands like Michelin, Goodyear, Firestone, and Bridgestone ensures quality and longevity. Plus, enjoy no-cost tire rotations with every service appointment for the life of your tires. Discover the Trice Hughes difference in Princeton or find them at TriceHughesGM.com. At Trice Hughes, they're more than just tires.
As a bank that's been part of the Caldwell County communities for almost 140 years, we've seen many changes. As we celebrate First Southern's first 40 years as an organization, we know any achievements we have had are because of the customers we worked alongside. We affirm our commitment to the shared values that brought us here. We look forward to spending the next 40 years and beyond serving you. For more information, visit fsmb.net. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hey sports fans, you wouldn't want your favorite sports team to play only offense or defense. When it comes to insurance, why settle for someone that can handle only your auto policy? At Goodwin Insurance, they take care of all your insurance needs. You deserve someone that provides comprehensive coverage and is working alongside you in your community. Contact them today for a quote.
Goodwin Insurance of Princeton, Cadiz, or Marion, or online at insurewithgoodwin.com.
Trilogy Performance Sports, they believe in only the highest standards of physical fitness training. Their staff members are actively enriching the lives of their members and creating a community of like-minded people, and getting you in shape is their number one goal. They have everything you need, knowledge, experience, and equipment. They find out what's important to you and design a customized plan that fits your needs. Learn more at TrilogyPerformanceSports.com.
We are back on the Sideline Report here at 1580 103.3 WPKY. Thanks for tuning in on this Thursday morning. We've got Gary Goodacre and Chris George in the studio with us today, and it's time for our top five. It's our top five favorite sports plays of all time. You can go anywhere with this, Little League, high school, college, pros, overseas, anything you want to, Gary. So we'll let you start, Gary.
I don't know about overseas. Yeah, that would have got me definitely some Korean baseball.
You have
there.
No Sadahara O no. references in your top five?
No, I'm not the Beastie Boys, so I'm not going to drop that down.
So but, here you go, five.
All right, five. I remember the passing of the torch when Michael Jordan went from the one hand to the other on Magic Johnson and got that layup, and I thought, okay, NBA's done. Because I loved NBA 80s. I was Bird. I was Dr. J. I was Magic. I loved it. But I saw that. I went, well, this guy's the thing. I mean, I knew he could score, but I didn't know if he could be what he is. I knew then, okay, he's going to win multiples. And yeah, that play just is in my mind. Four, another NBA play. I didn't watch a lot of sports till about like 9 or 10. It's just the way my family was. They weren't big sports fans. I think I got into sports through going to school. And I saw this Dr. J dunk, where he came up almost the top of the backboard, it looked like, and just destroyed somebody. I thought,
Michael Cooper.
Michael Cooper, yeah. It was the Lakers, Michael Cooper. And I thought, who in the world can do this? Because I wasn't big into sports. I thought, if humans can do this, I think I should watch this more. This is amazing. Well, I don't remember
humans,
how old I was.
Humans can't do that, just Dr. J.
Just Dr.
That's
J.
right, because I can't. It was one of my very first memories of watching something sporty and thinking, this is intriguing. So I think it just was almost one of my forays into sports, that Dr. J dunk on Michael Cooper. Number three is a combo, because I can't count, like Chris George wants to put eight into a top five, so I'm going to figure out how to do it. It's Bo Jackson, and it has to be Bo Jackson doing both football and baseball. So baseball part of it is that throw from left field where he throws out Harold Reynolds. Once again, something human should not be able to do. And he can still be the kind of guy who can run over Brian Bosworth, make him look silly, and blow him over against Seattle for a touchdown. I'm thinking, That is something a human should not be able to do both of.
Right.
Probably not even one of them, but he could do both of those. So
yeah. Bo's not from this planet either.
No, Bo is not from this planet. So I think you can probably tell I'm looking for the supernatural when I look for these plays. I'm not necessarily looking for somebody to hit a three to win a game, but people hit threes all the time. Yeah, won a game, maybe even won a tournament. I'm looking for things that I can't expect out of the normal human. So then my number two is going to be a split as well because, as you tell, I did do baseball with Bo Jackson. But I was thinking about somebody who I thought, well, they're not superhuman, but somehow they willed their body to be superhuman. And Derek Jeter did the flip play against Oakland. And I keep thinking, who has the brains to see this play happening, violate all rules of the cutoff, sneak through to basically the pitcher's mound and flip it to the catcher, I'm sure it was Posada, and got the guy out, I think it was Giambi, at home. So I just thought, I like this guy. And I already knew he did things, but I like the fact that he was prepared because you got to be prepared to do that. And then I guess his other play that impressed me was when he dived into the stands and bloodied his nose. And I'm thinking, you know, most superstars don't risk their body like that. They're protective. He's amazing, and he is a star, and he's willing to do that to win. And I just thought, this guy works harder than anybody else. And I was just amazed by him from that point on, basically. So there's my top five. I don't think they're as interesting maybe as some other people, but there were things that impressed me, and there were things that I saw. I did not do something like Willie Mays, the catch, because it was all historical to me. Or Babe Ruth's called shot. They didn't impact me in real time, so I didn't include them.
But it's your top five. That's the whole point. Right. Chris, you want to go next?
I'll go, and like Gary said, I have to sneak in extras because as I made my list, I was like, well, I got to put that on there. So I do have three honorable mentions. How did you know eight? I don't know. Maybe that's a pattern for me. But I took a little bit different. Gary went with iconic things the players did, that, and I thought that was an interesting way to take it. I looked at things. Mine's kind of a mix. My first honorable mention, I thought back to the 2019 Citrus Bowl, and I just remember Chris Oates' fumble recovery to seal the win against Penn State, and that's a play that always sticks out to me because I remember all of our Section 1 crew that was there at the game. We're thinking, oh, this guy's getting ready to be great, and that essentially was the last play of Chris Oates' football career.
What do you got at number? Oh, you're doing your honorable mention.
I'm doing my honorable mention.
As
a Braves fan, I could not put Slid Bream the Slide on there to take the Braves to the World Series. Right. I was like, I got to talk about that, as well as not something I saw, but something you see, and that's the Cal Stanford band play, which I think may honestly be the greatest play ever, but not my number one. At number five, once again, just something you see over and over that I think ranks up there is the Music City Miracle home run throwback. I was watching the Steve McNair documentary the other day, and just them talking through that play just makes it iconic that Jeff Fisher calls that, and it worked, even though I think it was a legal forward pass. But
I actually considered that play, so.
Number four just happened not too long ago. Goes back to a former Brave who is now a Dodger, and that was Freddie Freeman walking it off with a granny in the World Series. I mean, it doesn't get much better than a walk-off granny to win a World Series game one.
I thought Gary might have the Kirk Gibson home run, but
no, I thought about it, but I guess it just slipped my mind as to when I was really ranking them. I did like that play. I was not allowed to put the Music City Miracle because that was the day before Adam was born, and I'm in the hospital watching the game, and I'm just petting Leslie in the hospital bed, and she never lets me forget that I was watching a football game the day she's having our first child. So I'm not allowed to bring that up.
Number three, Steeler fan, has got to be the Immaculate Reception for me. Once again, didn't see it, but as a Steeler fan, it's part of our DNA, excellent. But number two, I'll talk a little bit more about because I was there. It is part of my UK football fandom, and that's Stevie getting loose behind Louisville's defense.
Oh, yeah. That was a good one.
That just one of my all-time favorites. I love that highlight anytime they show it at Commonwealth during video presentations. Stevie getting loose behind Louisville, it just broke their hearts, and it made my day. And my number one, I was there. We were all there at Tiger Stadium. I will never, ever forget Tez Civil's catching that football with his elbow and how close we were to that play. And to this day, anytime you post that picture, I still do not understand how Tez caught that football, because there is no rhyme or reason for him catching that football. Yeah. And that's just the greatest thing I've ever witnessed. And to be that feet close, away from it. It was just absolutely amazing. I still to this day don't know. I mean, your picture proves the ball is on his elbow. Yeah. How do you catch that ball being interfered with by a defender, falling backwards in the end zone? Amazing play.
Well, what's interesting about that is that was the touchdown in that game.
Yes.
Of course, we had to have the field goal, and I remember asking Carson Chambliss, who was an assistant then, I remember asking as we drove to the field goal, how far has Brett got? And we just kind of talked about it. And then I remember running and catching the field goal. Oh. So I can remember it coming, and I'm looking going, I think he's got it. And I mean, it didn't clear by much, we all know, but enough. And I remember catching it and seeing it on the correct side, to me, of the crossbar and thinking, we just beat them, because I didn't think they had any chance to score if we had a lead with that little time left. So you remember that, and I do remember that field goal. I didn't make my list because I was thinking more professional, but it was enjoyable to see that field goal from my perspective.
We've got one more top five to go, but we need to get to a break first, so stay with us. We'll be back with more here on the Sideline Report at 1580 103.3 WPKY.
The Joshua Tree Boutique, East Court Square in historic downtown Princeton. A boutique filled with ladies' clothing with an emphasis on color and unique style. Beautiful jewelry, too. Follow on Facebook.
Weather Edge Weather Center forecast, slight chance for showers this afternoon, partly sunny, 57 degrees. Then tonight, a near guarantee for showers, especially after midnight, low around 47. Southeast winds could be as high as 20 miles an hour. And then Friday, also a near guarantee for showers before lunchtime, high of 59 degrees. South winds could be as high as 25 miles an hour. But back to this afternoon, partly sunny, 57 in southwestern Kentucky.
Everyone deserves a bit of financial comfort and cheer during this special time of year.
And ABC Finance Company is dedicated to helping you navigate the holiday seasons with different payment programs on holiday loans.
Hi, this is Courtney Morse at the Princeton ABC Finance location.
And this is Todd Morse at the Hopkinsville location.
The magic of Christmas needn't be lost in a maze of corporate complications. We are a locally owned company that believes in the simplicity of giving.
At ABC Finance, we provide loans up to $15,000 and decisions are made quickly, usually within an hour.
We make the loan process quick, easy, and stress-free. We can even consolidate all loans into one easy payment.
No appointment is needed and walk-ins are welcome. You can even give us a call and we can take your application over the phone.
Or apply online at abcfinanceonline.com. For more information and for great financial tips, like ABC Finance on Facebook. And happy holidays.
You look amazing. What's your secret?
Oh, girl, I've been taking the shot. The semi-glutide weight loss shot.
Isn't that super expensive and hard to get?
No, girl. I get mine at Princeton Drugstore. My starting dose was less than $50 a week, and I lost 20 pounds my first month. And if you don't have a prescription, you can talk to their telehealth physician.
Wow, that sounds great. I totally need to give them a call.
Princeton Drugstore. Your journey to feeling and looking fabulous starts here. Contact them today.
Is there anything we can do for you? Johnson's Furniture and Appliances in Marion, Kentucky wants to help. At Johnson's, we get excited when you walk in the door or call for assistance. We look forward to solving your problems and lending a hand. We carry most major appliances, including GE washers, GE dryers, and GE refrigerators. We also carry parts and offer service. Johnson's in Marion, Kentucky wants to be your appliance store and service center. Let Johnson's Furniture and Appliances in Marion lend a hand. Stop in or shop online.
Hey, it's Jess. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 9. We'll get you ready to start your day with sticky notes and local, regional, and national news updates at 6:30 and 7:30, complete weather-rich forecasts, jumping a Wayback Machine, birthdays and anniversaries at 7:30, catch up with community calendar, and cover local issues, events, and even share the love with Coffee Talk at 8 a.m. Everything you need to know and a whole lot of fun. Start your day with us at 1580 103.3 WPKY.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY. Good morning again. Thanks for joining us. Gary Goodacre and Chris George in the studio. We've been running through our top five plays of all time, top five sports plays, and it's my turn. I've got one honorable mention. It's the shot heard round the world. Bobby Thompson goes deep at the Polo Grounds as the Giants beat the Dodgers to claim the National League pennant in 1951. And, of course, it's Russ Hodges' famous call that everybody remembers. The Giants won the pennant. The Giants won the pennant. But did you know that someone recorded that off the radio, a fan, and that's the only reason that recording exists today, that if a fan had not been just recording the game off the radio, we would never have heard Russ Hodges going nuts and shouting, the Giants won the pennant. The Giants won the pennant. So that's my honorable mention. Number five, the 1998 Class 2A State Championship football game.
Ooh.
Gerald Fuqua scoops up a loose ball when Daniel's fake punt goes wrong, gives the Tigers a lead, and Caldwell County goes on to beat Danville 38-28 for the state championship. My number four is going to be the Holy Roller. I'm sure you guys remember that one. That was week two, 1978 in the NFL. Raiders over Chargers. The Raiders are down to their final play. The snake's going down with the ball. He fumbles it. It gets bumped around, pushed around, goes into the end zone. I believe Dave Casper fell on it for a touchdown, and the Raiders beat the Chargers that day. And later the NFL outlawed that play. And you'll never, ever see the Holy Roller again because it's not a legal play anymore. The ball comes back to the spot where it was fumbled. But those guys pulled it off and got a win that day. I've always kind of enjoyed that play. My number three is going to be Game 6 of the 2011 World Series. David Freese with a two-run triple to right in the bottom of the ninth inning to tie the game. And, a really good right fielder might have caught that one.
Or an adequate right fielder might have caught that one.
Nelson Cruz got turned around a little bit, got lost a little bit, didn't sprint back like he should have. The ball hit the wall and two runs scored. People forget, though, that Josh Hamilton, after the Cardinals had tied the game in the ninth, Josh Hamilton hit a two-run homer in the top of the 10th, and Cardinals came back again, tied it, and then David Freese won it with a home run in the 11th, but the two-run triple, because bottom of the ninth, Cardinals were up against it, and ended up winning the World Series. I've always kind of felt bad for the Texas Rangers because they probably had the better team, probably deserved to win, but they didn't. Cardinals got the big trophy that year. My number two is the Immaculate Reception, greatest play in NFL history. It's been voted on, 1972 Steelers over Raiders. And Franco Harris later said he really wasn't supposed to be that far down the field on that play. He just kept kind of floating as the play developed. And, boom, the ball bounces off a Raider defender. He's there to scoop it off the turf and then still had to outrun four or five Raiders to get to the end zone. If you're a football fan, NFL guy, you have to, especially if you're a Steelers fan growing up, that's the play. And, of course, my number one, Cal Stanford, the band is on the field, 1982. That play always serves to remind me that if you can just keep any game a one-possession game, anything can happen. One play can change everything. Even if you're down to your final second, keep playing because it might just happen.
Keep it close and steal it at the end.
Yep. And the band being on the field, that just you'll never see another ending like that because the security is so tight now that nobody would be able to get out there like that. But everybody thought the game was over. The band's coming out on the field. The game's over. But wait a minute. The ball is still alive, and here's this guy running through the band to score a touchdown. Stanford still claims it won that game, but they didn't,
I like the Holy Roller because I like plays that necessitate rule changes. I'm always liking people pushing the envelope to see what would happen. I didn't put this in there, but I remember watching Mike Vrabel on the Titans in a game where they were up. They ran a play, and it was fourth down, and they kept taking delay of games and moving back five, but the clock kept running because the previous play was a live ball play, and they kicked like 3 minutes off the game, exploiting rules. I always love it when people exploit rules and find loopholes.
That's why you got to know the rules so you know how to use them to your advantage.
All the time.
But then we end up with a rule book that's like, you know, incredibly thick, and you have to be a lawyer to really realize what I was
saying. I don't understand why teams, and I know some baseball teams will call an umpire and be like, what's this rule? Why do you not have a rules analyst on your staff who is sitting there telling you, we can do this now and it's legal? I mean, I would have somebody in my ear telling me that.
Like the free kick field goal?
Yeah.
Gotta
do this.
I've been calling for that play for years, though. You know, I remember seeing it once back in the 70s or early 80s. Dallas tried it, tried a long field goal after a fair catch on a punt and missed it. That was the only time I'd ever seen it until the Chargers pulled it off a couple of weeks ago.
I'm impressed by it. Know the rules.
Know the rules. No Doug Flutie Hail Mary.
No, I thought that play might come up. I thought about it, but... You know, I didn't want my list to be all St. Louis Cardinals or all Kentucky Wildcats. And, you know, I still remember the James Lee Thunder dunk to end the 1978 championship game against Duke. That was a big one. So you could go back to a lot, but.
These were all very good.
Yeah, these were favorite plays. So
yes.
We've got Chris George and Gary Goodacre in the studio this morning here on the Sideline Report. Hope you enjoyed our top five list. We'll come back and have more sports talk right after this here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
If you're involved in an auto accident, it's your choice where your vehicle is repaired. Some insurance companies refer you to Pro Shops because they give the insurance company discounts. But with those discounts, the insurance company has input on the parts used and might not always use what is best. At Trice-Hughes Body Shop, they're not partnered with an insurance company, but they give the same lifetime limited warranty to the person who owns the vehicle at the time of repairs. Visit Trice-Hughes in Princeton for your vehicle repairs.
Learn about your heart health with a simple scan. The Cardiology Clinic at Caldwell Medical Center features a highly trained team of heart health specialists and years of experience in cardiac health and wellness. Our specialists provide a wide range of cardiac-specific services, offering coronary artery calcium testing, stress test, echocardiograms, sleep studies, and more, all right here close to home. To schedule an appointment, visit CaldwellMedical.com.
This is Cullen Pope, financial advisor with InvestFB. I'm excited to have Travis Perry with me here. What we do at InvestFB is not a lot different than coaching basketball. Any chance you could call me Coach Pope?
That might be a little awkward. Maybe we could try Mr. Pope?
Mr. is too formal. At InvestFB, we strive to know our customers on a more personal level.
Now that sounds familiar. Working together to build a winning team.
This is a paid testimonial. The provider has received or will receive compensation paid by the Farmers Bank and Trust Company. The individual providing this testimonial is a current client of InvestFB Wealth Management and does not have additional conflicts of interest. The testimonial may not be representative of the experience of other customers, and the testimonial is no guarantee of future performance or success.
We are back on the Sideline Report here at 1580 103.3 WPKY. Gary Goodacre and Chris George in the studio with us this morning. We do want to remind you the West Kentucky Hoops Classic is coming up Friday and Saturday at the Community Activities Building. Caldwell County's teams will actually be in action Friday back-to-back, so that will be a good chance to go out if you want to see the local teams. The Tigers play at 12:30 Friday against Heritage Christian Academy. The Lady Tigers take on South Panola, Mississippi at 2 o'clock, so playing back-to-back on Friday. The teams will not play back-to-back on Saturday. One team plays at 11 a.m. and the other one plays at 6:30, so you'll have a little bit of a break in there, but come out to the camp, spend the day. There's seven games each day, and you'll enjoy some great basketball. And, Gary, a lot of good teams coming in this year.
Sounds like there are. Pinson Valley's coming back. Is that not? They always bring a great team. I'm very intrigued by some of the ones that are coming from different states that are bringing some D1 athletes. I can't remember the names, but Torrey Hammett always seems to do a really good job of pitting correctly matched up teams for talent. So I think some of those end of day Friday games are going to be really outstanding high level basketball. So if you like that level of high school basketball, you're going to be very pleased of what you see.
Chris, we've got Bowling Green here finishing up each day.
Yeah, bringing DG Sherrill and the Purples to town. I don't know if this is one of their better teams or not. It's not a lot of buzz right now, you know, because football just finished and they made a run. But it's just good to see bringing hometown people back. And like I said, the Hoops Classic is really turned into a marquee event.
Yeah. I don't have the schedule in front of me, but I know DG better have his team ready because they played two really good teams in the Hoops Classic, and it's that 8 o'clock game both nights.
Oh. Yeah.
So he better have them locked and loaded and ready to go. But lots of good teams coming in, 7 states represented, and like I said, both Caldwell County teams will be in action both days. So a good chance to get out to the cab and check that out. While we're talking high school sports, want to talk a little football. Caldwell County going 5-7 this past season, which, guys, I thought that was a pretty good year when you look at the schedule that was played and building some momentum late in the year, I think, Gary, for next season.
Well, a playoff win never hurts, and I think that was one of their goals, and they got it. It was on the road, but nonetheless, they did receive it. And I think that getting more reps with that team is going to be very helpful because they're going to lose a lot of seniors, but there's still plenty coming back. And with the new district and the different schedule and what's coming up from the younger group, it's all prime for us to be a solid 7-5, 8-4 team, maybe even better for the next foreseeable future, as long as we develop the talent from the very youngest up. It's going to be a lot of talent development, and it's going to be a lot of just getting the numbers back up to where they need to be.
Yeah, Chris, the big thing, you look at the district, Murray moves up to 3A, and some other teams are coming in, but we think Caldwell County is going to match up pretty well with everybody in the district, except maybe Mayfield, as always.
Bye, Murray. We will not miss you.
We should play them.
They're still on the schedule.
It's a non-district game. Who cares? We won't miss you. You've broken our hearts too many times. I was excited the way they ended the year. Like I said, I agree with Gary. We match up well with the Crittenden, Triggs, Fort Campbell's in that district. Todd Central is usually not very good. You know, they've had their moments past couple of years, but historically struggle. And, you know, it's just taming the line that is Mayfield, and you just never know. But, you know, the best thing for this team, get that home game, hopefully win that 2-3 home game against, and then, you know, you're still going to have to deal with Mayfield. It is what it is. In the second round of the playoffs, but I just think winning cures a lot, and it gets interest back up, gets more people back in the stands. Coach McClung finally gets a chance to put his footprint on the schedule and continue to put his footprint on the roster. And I'm really excited for what they've got coming back, but always with me with football, run the ball. Yeah. We've got to find a way to effectively run the football. Winning teams run the ball. Look at Texas. You run 19 straight one plays and just demoralize somebody. Passing is great. Running the ball wins.
I do like that we did move the ball against Mayfield with our offense, and I like the fact that even though the scores didn't seem to indicate it, I think that we did look a little better against them, and that's something that you never know. I mean, there was it 07, the year Mayfield just fell off the earth for 1 year, and we beat them pretty substantially. You never know in that year where Mayfield is really down, and you got to be ready for it. You may not even see it coming. You can't just assume that they're always going to be what they've been. What if the year they're down, we're up, and we make a run? So those kids have got to believe that anything's possible, and hopefully the year ending on a fairly positive note record-wise will give them the motivation to stay in the weight room and hit the practice fields this summer with a renewed sense of optimism.
Yeah, the schedule's not as daunting next year, but at the same time, you can't just look at the schedule and go, oh, this will be easy, and Caldwell lost several seniors that were key members of this year's team, so everybody has to come back better and ready to go against whatever teams you're playing.
Well, and that Crittenden and Tree game always means a lot because of their border rivalries, but now it means more because of their district games.
Yeah,
and you got to win district games right. This year. You're not getting in the playoffs going 0-10.
Yeah. Right, it's a six-team district. I'm not sure why there's a six-team district and a four-team district, why they couldn't just made two five-team districts. But maybe it's a scheduling thing. I don't know. Maybe it was easier. Maybe those schools requested to move this way for travel purposes.
Well, then you have they're both even.
Yeah.
So you have that you will play in a six-team district. You'll have five consecutive weeks of games because of the fact that nobody's got to sit out. In a five-team district, every week someone has to sit out while the other four play. And that makes it harder to schedule because you have a very limited pool of opponents the week you're not playing a district game.
And with our district, I think it would have been hard. Who do you split? Do you exile Todd Central to District 2 and when they're very close to Fort Campbell? Or do you exile Crittenden to District 2 and their proximity to Caldwell? Let's just send Mayfield on somewhere. I don't care where they go. And
West Tennessee, maybe?
Yes, maybe.
Well,
Missouri.
The team that lost in the realignment was Fort Knox, because Fort Knox is probably going to be the number four seed over in the other district year in and year out. So when you look at their playoff path, they're probably looking at a trip to Mayfield or maybe here, you know, if we get Mayfield every year. So it's going to be tough for them, but it's going to be a whole lot different. It'll be fun to see the new district games. We'll get to see Todd County Central. We haven't seen them in a while. Marshall County's back on the schedule. Webster County's back on. And, Gary, it's been a long time since we went to a football game at Webster County.
Was the last time we went the time I had to run up the hill, or did we go since then?
That might have been it.
I think that was it.
Was that the last time?
Yeah.
It was not the time where the chain gang threw out. Got thrown out. That was one of the earlier times I went to Webster. Webster has good memories for such a place we don't go very often.
Yeah, the one
always
night,
memorable at Webster.
Yeah, the one night someone had hit a deer in the road up ahead of us, and we got detoured around, you know, some gravel roads and back roads in Webster County. And by the time we got there, the game was about to start. So Gary jumps out of the car and just sprints in, so he actually got there to see the first play. By the time the rest of us got in the stadium, Caldwell County, I think, already had the football. The kickoff had happened, and I did miss the kickoff that night because of the extra detour going to Webster County. But we got everything.
It all worked out.
It all worked out. So it'll be fun next year. Can't wait for it. Football season always seems like it flies by, and, can't wait for baseball and softball to get here. But we've got some basketball to finish.
Had the wrestling out at the cab this weekend, previous weekend, so that's good.
Talking about basketball, though, the Tigers seem to be improved this year. Lady Tigers seem to be improved. So if you get a chance, go out and check those two teams out.
But it's amazing that we're already, you know, January's coming up next week, and they'll be back in school, and All A's coming up pretty soon, isn't it?
Yes.
When's All A? Middle of January sometime?
It's maybe the first week, second week of January. So it's pretty early this year. So we'll have that. The girls will be at Crittenden County for the semis and the finals, and the boys' semis and finals are at Dawson Springs. So that'll be an interesting lineup, especially if you have a semifinal that has Dawson Springs and UHA and Caldwell County and whoever in that other game. It'll be a packed house. Lyon County's probably going to be in the mix there too, so that'll be a big night of basketball.
You have to see the bracket to see if that can transpire. I don't have the matchups there, but All A basketball should be pretty good in the second region. There's some good teams in that qualification level.
All right, I appreciate you guys coming in and being on the show today. We'll have to do it again sometime. Chris, next time you're in town, you got to yell at us so we can do it.
Anytime I get a chance to be here, I will.
Any last thoughts, Gary, Chris?
No, it's good. Happy New Year, everybody, and enjoy your time with your family during this season.
Happy New Year, and as Gary said, and just remember, everybody's going through something, folks, so give people a little grace.
Again, hope you had a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, and that's going to wrap us up for 2024 here on the Sideline Report. Thanks to Gary Goodacre and Chris George for coming in this morning. This is Todd Griffin of WPKY Radio and YourSportsEdge.com. Again, thanks for being with us here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
WPKY.